church time this evening. For those of you last week that we wanted to, I guess I could use the terminology, we started on some messages last Sunday morning, but today it's a little bit different, I want to call it Adventures with the Holy Spirit. Because I believe it is an adventure. Because there is so much misinformation, wrong information. There's so much, so many people have an abuse of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to get there this morning. There's such a description oftentimes affiliated with what people say is the Holy Spirit and what is not the Holy Spirit. And I could get into trouble today if I really wanted to get in trouble. Well, I think I will get in trouble. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not an it. He can be, according to the scripture, he can be offended, if you will. I can use that. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not to be mocked or made fun of, no more than you would mock or make fun of Jesus. There is gifts of the Spirit. There is tongues and interpretations of the Spirit. If not, we need to start ripping out the Bible and take pages out of the Bible. But I will say that there are those that have taken and abused and made a mockery of what we know as Pentecostal or Pentecostalism. Let me just not get in too much trouble and let me handle this the right way. I got some guns. I know how to use them. And I ain't scared. But we ain't bringing no copperhead up in this church. We be not bringing no timber rattler up here in this church. And saying, seek him Osiah, pass him on by. We ain't doing that. Okay? There's abuses of the Spirit. And there's things that people have done that has brought great shame and great confusion into the body of Christ. I want to somehow talk about just one thing this morning. And I may or may not get done. That's why God, if I'm breathing, if I'm living, that's why God gave me next Sunday. Okay? That's why God gave me not tonight, but Wednesday night. We're doing different things on different times. But I thank God for the message today because I've learned some more things myself. As long as I've been doing what I'm doing, there's still room for growth in the body of Christ. At times I've been confused about the Holy Spirit and who He is and what He's doing and how He's working. Let me just say this prior to me ever going into this service or into this preaching part of this service. I know the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, pneuma, breath, ghost and spirit's the same Greek word. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is in this room right now. You can't see Him. And somebody says, well, I ain't going to have nothing to do with anything I can't see. Listen close. You need to quit breathing right now. Just take you a big old breath of air. It's over. But the word breath in the Greek is pneuma, breath. God put His Spirit in man and made him a living soul, a living being. Can I tell you something that's going to blow your mind? The breath that God breathed into the nostrils, Adam, is still the breath that you're breathing today. Where did it stop? You're breathing Adam's air. Is that not crazy? Because it's never stopped. It went through Noah. That's another message for another time. But we think about the Holy Spirit, and in this room right now, and this is one of the things that we, I'm going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to talk about the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to talk about all of that. But what I've studied this week is that the Holy Spirit of God is very, very active even right now, and He is very active in the conversion of the sinner. And that's where, a long time ago, I was very confused because I didn't understand a lot of the stuff about the working of the Spirit. And let me go back and reiterate this. It's because He's working in this room even right now. Because He is appointed and assigned by God the Father through the Son to do the work that's going on planet Earth right now. When we think about the scripture, this is in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to jump down to verse 14 because that's the main part of the text. I'm going to go back and work around this a little bit this morning. And again, if I slow down and I don't get everything accomplished today, I'm not going to worry about that. Somehow or another, I want us to get this in our hearts today. When you look in verse number 14 of Romans 8, and again, I want to talk about adventures with the Holy Spirit. Adventures with the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's pretty good right there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, pause right there for a minute. God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit and confirms in your heart. Well, I thought I had to speak in tongues for that. No, you're jumping. Let's back up. Let's not go there yet. That's a different part of it. And that's where I used to always get really confused about this. God's Spirit is working even now on a sinner. When I was young, I didn't know what was going on in my life. But I know for a fact that when I was 13 years old, that God was working in my heart when I was 13 years old. You young people around the room and the young people that's gone today, the Holy Spirit is already actively working. How do you know that, Pastor? Here's the answer. Is because that is what Jesus told us He would do. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And I'll get into a lot of this as we work through some of this as time goes along. But in that scripture, it says the Spirit itself beareth witness. He bears witness with our spirit. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know I'm a child of God. Because the Spirit of God is bearing witness inside of my heart, not this blood-pumping heart that I've got, but inside of my spirit that I am a child of God. How many people in the room, have you got that witness today that you know without shadow of a doubt that you're a child of the Most High God? If you know that, it is only by the Holy Spirit that you've come to the knowledge of that. I'll get there, trust me. And we see this in the scripture in verse number 17. And if the children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified also together. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I love You today and I thank You so much for Your goodness. I thank You, God, for Your grace. I thank You, God, for Your mercy. And Lord, I just pray, God, today as we work through this message, that God, that even the time that you've given us this morning, that Lord, let it be valuable time. Let it be time that we can learn and time that we can grow and time that we can look into the Bible and see what the Bible says. Not just what man tells us, not just what somebody else says. But God, let us have an adventure with you and let us encounter you. Let us know you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch us and help us, God, as we learn about you today. And Father, we ask you this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. When we were here last week, we talked about, again, He, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit is not spooky. I know I was in a service years ago and there was a certain man, I don't remember his name, don't care to remember his name. We were supposedly in a move of God in a Pentecostal service. And this particular man would do certain calisthenics, if you will, and woo the crowd and move the crowd. And he would say across the crowd, "Here he comes again. Here comes Casper again." I was sitting there with Sherry at this church and I'm going, "Dude, that is not right. That is not right at all." Maybe he was trying to prove a point. I don't know. But the point that I want to prove today is the Holy Spirit is real. He is the third person in the Godhead, the Trinity. Jesus said, "Except I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come." And I'll get back into that later. That was part of last week. But we know that the Holy Spirit made it, Jesus made it back to the throne, don't we? Because we know that the Holy Spirit came down the book of Acts. I'll get there later. But more than that, we know that the Holy Spirit was active in the life of Jesus. Because when Jesus was baptized in Jordan, we mentioned this last week, that the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove and he dwelt upon Jesus there. And there was a voice out of heaven that said that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When we looked into the scripture last week, we know that, again, that the Holy Ghost is very active in the conversion experience. That he's active in somebody being saved. He's active in somebody being born again. Let me just say this. I'm going to bounce around like a rabbit today. I don't mean to, but it's just my mind is just like, it's just so full of what I've studied that it's just taken me on different places. But let me just say this. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be weirded out about the Holy Ghost. Let me jump forward. You don't even have to be weirded out about speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Because it's all a part of the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Ghost on planet Earth today. And again, that's not in my message today. But before I even get into that, I need to just say, just relax. And don't get too twisted up about anything. Because we know the Holy Ghost is real. He's active. He's working. He's here even now. And he's got gifts and he's got all the stuff that's mentioned in the scripture. And all of that is for the benefit of the church and the edification of the body of Christ. We'll get into all of that. But we know he was even active in the life of Jesus in the day that Jesus met with Nicodemus. If you remember, I met that last week. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that you must be born again." Born again of the Spirit. Just like you were an infant born from your mother's womb, the Holy Spirit, when we are born again of the Spirit, we're just like infants in Jesus, if you will. It's just like we've got a brand new life and we're born again. We are spiritually born again. And then Jesus again told Nicodemus, and he says this in the Word, that except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit. Again, the Spirit of God has active work in the conversion. I'll get into that. The conversion experience, because he teaches us in the scripture in the book of John, He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, he says these words. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Pinch yourself. Remember last week? Pinch yourself and see if you're breathing. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Again, without the Holy Spirit working in our lives today, we cannot even be born again. But again, when we think about this, we think about how that we encounter the Holy Spirit through conversion. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's a spiritual birth. Again, it occurs when the person acknowledges their sins and they invite Jesus into their heart. Then there is a spiritual change that takes place inside of that person. And the commentary said it is a personal inward change. It's so much that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know that scripture very well. Because he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're not the same. And I'm going to tell you something. It takes the blood of Jesus to do that. But it takes the Holy Spirit convicting you and convincing you of your sin. That's what he came to do. He's the one that brings it to light. He's the one that, I guess the word I'm looking for, is illuminates your sin. He illuminates your transgressions. He illuminates your missing the mark, if you will. The Holy Spirit's the one that puts the spotlight on you and says, hey, look here. And then we have to respond to that. In the scripture, he says that we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And in this is what Jesus even did with our friend Nicodemus. He told him that you've got to be born again. Born of the Spirit. In our text, when we begin to read this, we read this in our text today. And he says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Now, if I had time, I'd like to talk about being grafted in and the old man, the new man. We'll get into maybe a little bit of that later. But for the point right now is simply this, that we see where Paul was writing this, and it says that our soul man is the element of life. That's where you think. That's where you have emotion. That's where God breathed into his nostril and made him a living soul. That is where you have your intellect. That is the part of you that lives on the inside of you. Commentary said it this way. The soul is the element of life. But where the spirit is, it is the element of faith. It is that spirit that belongs to God. It is that spirit that will live somewhere in eternity, if you will. But Paul addresses this in our text in the earlier parts of Romans 8. He begins to say this. He says that there is a difference between the working of the flesh and the working of the spirit. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you. So when you look in Romans 8, we see this in verse number 1. A lot of reading here this morning, but we've got to do it. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, to them that are in Christ Jesus, okay? And then he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is being led by the Spirit. That is walking in the Spirit. I've got text for that later. That is being dominated and controlled by the Spirit of God and not by your flesh man. Now, we're in trouble in our world today because so many are led by their flesh man. I'm going to tell you something. God does not want you to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but God wants you to be so full of his Spirit that you will not be obedient to the things of the flesh, but you'll be obedient to the things of the Spirit. Now, this is what Paul begins to write. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, let me back up on that. He says, the law of the Spirit, the principles and the regulations of the Spirit. What the Spirit does, those that are Christ do mind the things of the Spirit. And then he says, hath made me free from the law of sin. What is the law of sin? The law of sin is the law of the flesh, being obedient to the things of the flesh. And there's a lot of things I could get into right there, and maybe at another time I'll do that. But then he goes on in the latter part of verse number 2, and I love this because, again, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about Christian conversion. We're talking about regeneration. We're talking about being born again. All of those terms are synonymous as we are brought from the darkness into the marvelous light until we are brought into the family of God. Let me say this, not in my notes, but there is a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. I almost got in trouble again, but I'll leave that where it's at. No, I won't. I'm going to get in trouble before I leave this place, Steve. There's as much difference between the flesh and the spirit as there is between male and female. Now, I'm not going to go no further on that. But I'll say that there is so much difference between walking and being dominated by the flesh. And see, God don't want us to be dominated by the flesh. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to redeem us Jesus redeems us, but for him to convict us of our sins, to shine the light on the sin, to illuminate our sin, to reveal our sins to us. That's what he does. He's active. But again, he teaches us in verse number 2, he says this in the scripture, that we have been made free from the law of sin, which is the dominating control and force of the flesh. This goes on to say that in the scripture, again, that the old man, the person without conversion, that man that is wrapped up and tangled up in a life of the flesh, if you will. Here's what the commentary said. He says that it is to say the old man, the person without a conversion, or what we call the born-again experience, can be defined, watch this, as a turning to God and away from wrongdoing. It is turning away from sin and wrong and doing the right thing and relying solely on Jesus. When we look into the scripture, there are several things that actually came to my mind. I'll get Kathy to help me here real quick. But when we are changed, when we are converted, when our heart has been changed from a heart that is obedient to the things of the flesh to a heart that is being saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, we become obedient to the things of the Spirit. Our nature has been changed. I heard John Hagee say this one time many years ago. He said, you can take a pig, you can put him in a collar, you can give him a bath, you can put a red ribbon around his neck, you can shine him, you can paint his toenails. But as quick as that pig sees an open door, that pig's going to leave and find the first mud hole that it can find. Why is that pig going to do that? It's because he's a pig. Because he has not had his nature changed. And see what Jesus does. Jesus changes our nature. The Holy Spirit is working right now in our lives. Here's what the Bible says several different places. As we turn away from sin and we turn away from wrongdoing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 2. I'm only going to mention this one verse for the sake of time today. It tells us when we are converted, when we are born again, when we are changed, the Bible says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You have renounced it. You have turned away from it. You no longer want to have anything to do with it. And don't get the preacher riled up too much this morning, because I really ain't in the mood to fight with you after a while. But all this smoking pot and all this social drinking and all of that, and somebody says, well, it's just a little and it ain't going to hurt nobody. Let me tell you something, friend. It only takes the enemy one little crack in your armor and the enemy's going to come in. The enemy's going to try to do anything and everything that he can do. Listen to the pastor. If you still have those tendencies, my friend, and if you're still practicing in those things, you need to go back to the altar. You need to repent of your sins, and you need to get born again by the Spirit of the living God. Like me or not, I'm going to stick by my convictions, and I'm going to stick by the Word of God, because it is my watch, my friend, that you've got to make it to heaven. I found out a long time ago, everybody ain't going to like me. Save your emails, because I don't even read them. That's why you got shred and dump on 13. Come on, somebody. Because I found out a long time ago, my job is not to please people. My job is to preach the unadulterated Word of God and to do it to the best of my knowledge and the best way I know how. But God don't want you to stay in your sin. God wants to pull you out of your sin. God wants to give you a brand new life. But he says that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now look at this. We no longer walk in the craftiness of this world, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The next scripture is found way over in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, the latter part of that verse tells us, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. There's difference between a sinner and a child of God. Let me say this, not in my notes. I'm not here to condemn nobody. I'm not here to make you feel bad. The Holy Spirit will make you feel bad if you're in sin. And I ain't got but one thing to say about that. Sick him. That's all I can say, because if the Holy Ghost is knocking on your heart's door and you're running from the Holy Ghost, friend, you're not running from Pastor Green. You're running from God. And the only thing I can say today is go get them, because you're trying to save them. You're trying to redeem them. You're trying to change their life. But in this, Peter says you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The Bible says a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises unto him who hath called you out of darkness. Called you out of darkness. We've renounced the hidden things of darkness. We are no longer participators in the sinful things, in the hidden things of darkness, in wickedness and sinfulness. God has translated us. He's transformed us. And the Bible teaches us that he's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, if you will. There was an old-time singer that said, I saw the light. That wasn't in my notes either. Ephesians 5 and 8. Look at it real quick. Ephesians 5 and 8. I'm only going to get point 1, or maybe a little bit into point 2, maybe. But he says, For ye were. Sounds like a past tense thing to me. You were sometimes darkness. I don't want to go back there, do you? Brother Robert, I remember your testimony, and I was blessed and still remember it. You don't want to go back into that, do you? Brother Steve, you don't want to go back into that, do you? Nobody else wants to go back into that. My friend, it is glorious to be saved. It is glorious to be born again. It is glorious, my friend, to know that your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you will. It is glorious to know that today. And it's glorious to know that God, through and by the power of the Spirit of God, came and knocked on my heart's door. You say, well, how do you know he knocked on your heart's door? Thank you for asking. Because I love taking this word right here, And I love going back and forth in it, and I love looking and seeing what Jesus said. We talked about this just for a minute last week. I want to talk about it again this morning. He talks about to those disciples that walked there with Jesus all along the way when Jesus was here on the earth. Jesus was here on the earth. And Jesus, again, told those early disciples that he had to go, and we'll get into that a little later. He had to go away, and except he go away, the Comforter would not come. Now, before I get to the latter part of what I want to get into, I wanted to emphasize that the Holy Spirit in the adventure is that we got to understand he is a working Holy Spirit. He is the power plant. He's the dynamo. We'll talk about that later too. He's the energia. He is working even right now. And we see this, and this is his job description according to Jesus. Did y'all know the Holy Spirit had a job description? Here it is. When you look in John chapter 16, Jesus again says this in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, please don't miss this, and please don't fall out with the preacher right here. I always took that verse, not exclusively, but inclusively, that verse only meant what happened in Acts chapter number 2, and it was inclusive only to those that would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, period. It can't be. It can't be in the context that the Holy Spirit, the next part of what the Holy Spirit came to do. And again, I believe in speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I believe that there's fruit of the Spirit. I believe that there's gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about those things. But these next few verses, if you're writing these down, I hope that you write this, because the Holy Spirit's not dead. The Holy Spirit is not a dead force in the church today. Don't get mad at the preacher when I say this. I know what was meant in Pentecost in the Church of God years ago. Sandra, you'll remember this as well. They would say, "Have you got it?" We know what that meant. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, the Holy Ghost is the agent whereby we're baptized. He's the one that does it. But yet he's already working prior to that even taking place. I think years ago we got so, and again, I'm not trying to discredit any of the things I've already talked about. But I think here's where we miss some of the stuff today in our society and in the church, is that we only attribute the working of the Holy Spirit to speaking in tongues and the baptism in the Spirit. We'll get into that. But we forget about these next few verses. Verse number, is that the right verse? Let me look right here. Look at verse 8. Because it begins to say in verse number 8, he says, this is what he says. And I love the way, and when he, not it, not Casper, personal pronoun, he, describing the Holy Ghost. Help me, Dana. I hope I got that right. When we look at that, it says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. That word reprove, I looked it up. It is a word that actually means conviction. So when he has come, he's working in Let's take a journey. He's reproved the world. He's working in Florida. He's working in Alabama. He's working in Georgia. He's working in Alaska. Hopefully he's working in California, but some of these other places around the world today. But he will not. He's convicting the world of sin. Don't get tunnel vision today. And I know I'm preaching a lot different than I normally do. Don't get tunnel vision today like Pastor Green used to have, that the Holy Spirit is only working in the church of God. Man, I had tunnel vision. I was church of God born, church of God bred. When I die, I'll be church of God dead. Come on, somebody. That's the way, Brother Hawks, I mean, we were hook, line, and sinker, that we were the elite, that the Holy Spirit only worked in the church of God. Are y'all breathing? Listen closely to me. He's not. We don't have a corner on the Holy Ghost. I want him to work fully and freely in the church of God. But he's working in the world. He is reproving the world of sin. First of all, he's come to convict you. If you get mad at the preacher today, you might need to talk to God, because the preacher's only being used as an instrument today to shine the light on your sin and your iniquity, so that the Holy Spirit can show you your sin. He can illuminate the error of your way so that you can get your life right with God, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I say hallelujah that the Holy Ghost is still working in the church in the year 2025. But don't miss my point. We have made this thing so flaky, and we've made this thing so spooky, we've made this thing so crazy, if you will, that we think that the Holy Ghost is only for an elite individual. I don't want to get into that. I do believe the Holy Ghost uses certain people with gifts and interpretations and all of that. I'll get into all that. But he came to reprove the world of sin. And he not only comes and convicts, but he says, and of righteousness, which he comes to convince, but he also comes to, or convict, but he also comes to convince. In other words, what he says, what that really means is you come to a screeching halt, that you do realize that you have all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. That it's the Holy Spirit of God working to convince you, I need to get my heart right with God. I need to get saved. God used a lady by the name of Wanda Parkins when she walked back about where Janet's sitting back there at the Clyde Church of God. And she said to me, Sister Betty Allen, we love you. Do you want to go pray? The morning I got saved. But I was at a Wesleyan church 30 minutes earlier, I was in a Wesleyan church in Clyde with a buddy of mine in a Sunday school class under conviction so bad, I didn't even know what it was, Jesse. I looked at my buddy, I looked at Mark Williams, I said, look, dude, I'm leaving. I don't know what's going on, but I'm leaving. And then I got to driving my old pickup truck towards the house, and on my way up there, it's amazing how the Holy Ghost knows how to tell time. He said, it's right now about 5 minutes to 11. You still got time to make church. Don, if I'm lying, I'm dying. And I pulled my truck over to the side of the road at my granny's yard at the corner. And I went in, and that's the morning that I got saved, that God changed my life. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. He changed mine so good. Brother Larry, I never had to have a preacher come and look for me. I never had to have a preacher call me. I never had to have a pastor come and look for me. Because God put such a love in my heart for him that I've showed up every Sunday for many years. Because Sherman, he convinced, my God, I feel him in this. Brother Steve, he convinced me that I needed to change my ways. That I needed to get my heart right with Jesus. Yes. I needed to turn my life around. Yes. Tim, he convinced me of that. Yes. You told me a few of your stories. That fits right in, don't it? Mm-hmm. And of judgment. That's his job. Yeah. So there's three things: reprove, and then of righteousness, and of judgment. Brother Larry, he convinced me if I didn't get right with God, I was going to split hell wide open. We don't talk like that in the church these days. We don't talk about hell. We don't talk about that place down there. But back in the day when I come up, we talked about it. And if you ain't got your heart right with God, there's not but two places to go, friend. And Walmart ain't one of them. And you can get mad at the preacher and you can tippy-toe and you can think that one of these days, I got to quit. I tell you, I don't get tore up like this very often anymore. But every now and then, it's just a stirring on the inside of me. It's that stirring down on the inside. And it's like, you know what, God, you're so amazing. Let me try to do this next verse or two, because if I don't, this ain't going to make sense. I'm going to leave you like a, what's it called, a cliffhanger or whatever. You're going to be hanging probably for a week, and that's going to be painful after a while. But he says he's going to convince. Then the last part of judgment, verse 9. And he says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Verse 11 says, of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Those three things basically talks about verse number 8. But Jesus said in verse 12, he says, there's many things I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, 13 following, Jesus says these words. Howbeit, we don't use that word in our English language anymore. I haven't heard anybody this week use the word howbeit. But I do hear people say, well, anyway, you know, I say that. Anyway, let me tell you. You know, I think I'll start using that word and see if anybody catches it. Howbeit. I'll try to use it today in a sentence. He says, howbeit, when he, now watch this, the Spirit of truth is come. Truth has come. Not an opinion, truth. And there's a lot of stuff I could talk about that word that I'll skip over. He will guide you. He's working his job description. It's there. It's all right there. He will guide you. Well, I think I need to do this. No. Turn that cart right back. Well, I think I'll go, no, right over here. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction. The Holy Spirit's got a narrow gate, my friend. Hello, somebody. He's going to guide you into all. I wish I had another hour right now. I love it. Another hour would be good. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Now that's very important. That's very important. Because nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say, praise the Holy Ghost. Don't say that. I don't believe. If anybody finds it, let me know. It don't. It would be contrary to this. But when he comes, he will speak of me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the cross of Jesus. He talks about Jesus. When he comes, he won't speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that will he speak. That's another part of the message for another time. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. That alone goes into some of the stuff I was talking about earlier. The Holy Ghost is not the author of confusion. But he, and let me premise that by saying, what I felt earlier when they were singing this song, they came real close to singing that song again, because I was already getting stirred up. That verse right there doesn't take away from singing and shouting and worshiping God and glorifying God. God is a God of order, true. But when you're praising God and glorifying God and magnifying God, let me just drop a little nugget on you. When it's really God, it's always in order. Somebody said, well, it don't take all that shouting these days. It don't take all that loud singing. It don't take all that glory to God and praise God. And well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. They've done it in the New Testament. And I don't see where, and I know I'm going to get challenged on this. I know I'm going to get challenged on when I say this. But you can't show me where it stopped in the New Testament church. Now somebody's going to challenge me on that, and then we're going to go to another verse of scripture too, because they're going to say, well, the Bible says, well, tongues will cease. But they didn't stop in Acts 29. Go look that verse up. Go look up Acts 29 and see what Acts 29 says. Go look it up this evening when you get off after dinner. But when Jesus comes and he takes his bride away, there's no need for prophecy then. There's no need for tongues then. Because we've seen in part, we understood in part. But when he comes, all that's going to be, all the parts is going to be over with. Stand with me. I know I'm wearing you out, and I don't mean to. You ought to be the one to study all this. People say, what'd you do all day, preacher? Oh, my goodness. Sherry just let me in there and let me study yesterday. He's a working Holy Spirit. Let me make sure I got to these next few verses. Verse 14 says, he will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15, and all that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 16, a little while and you shall not see me. Again, a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Jesus went to the Father. We know that Jesus was seen after the resurrection. A little while I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go to the Father. Holy Spirit come back down to the earth. And then I'm going to show myself 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus did that. It's in the Bible. I know I wore you out today. I know that was a lot. Trust me. There's a lot on me. Try to keep it organized in my little old mind. But here's the thing. Don't reject, don't neglect the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. And don't just push the Holy Spirit over in a corner in your life and think that he can only move in this corner of your life, but the rest of your life don't matter. Because he's very active in your life, my life, our lives. So Father, I know today, Lord, you're in this room. I know now that God, that you have a plan for the church. You have a plan for me. You have a plan for this body. Father, you teach us in the book of Ephesians to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So Lord, I pray, God, that even right now that you would take this church, this body. God, let us be a Spirit-filled people. Lord, I pray that, as the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So fill this church from the top to the bottom. Saturate us, Lord. Saturate us with your Spirit. Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in our lives today. May your Holy Spirit, God, touch every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And God, that tug that people feel on their heart right now, Lord, it's you. Lord, I pray that you'll just do a work in every heart and every life. If you need prayer today, we want to pray for you. I know there's many that have already had to go, but we're still here. If you need prayer today of any kind, we want to pray for you. We want God to do a work in your life. So, Father, I thank you for Josh. I pray, God, you touch him. I pray, God, you minister to him. Touch his life. Heal his body. Lord, just ever draw him ever closer unto you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we ask you this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.